the taste of the blue.
Let's Make Up, the Spaniels featuring Pookie Hudson on the 50s on 5. And Pookie, you wrote that. You wrote all the songs.
I wrote majority of them, you know, about 250.
So when the McGuire sisters covered Goodnight, Sweetheart, Goodnight, you must have made a mint off that.
I didn't make a dime. It made money, but I didn't make it. You know. I didn't really start getting paid royalties, man, until 1978. I had a lawyer out of Hammond, Indiana, who finally started getting some royalties for me, and it still wasn't nowhere near the money that was
owed made. To you. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you. Now, how did you feel initially when you heard the McGuire sisters cover of your song? I mean, did it bother you, or
no,
were you okay with it?
No, we didn't know. You know, as I said, we were young. We didn't know the ramifications of it. You know, at that particular time, hello. At that particular time, black music didn't get played on white radio. Okay, we never got played on white radio. All our music was played on the black radio station that was around the country. Mm. Might have had one or two maybe white stations, but basically they played the white covers, mm-hmm. You know, so they got heard more than we did. We didn't understand, you know, what the situation was. No one told us.
So, do you think that by when the McGuire sisters came out with that song, do you think that made people more apt to listen to the Spaniels original, or?
No,
you think it took away from the Spaniels originally?
It took away for the simple reason. A lot of people, you know, they said, hell, I didn't know anybody else did the song. In fact, they didn't know that we did it. I've been telling people for the last year, so I had it on stage tell them that I wrote the song. And they'd meet me out front and say, man, I didn't know you wrote that song. We thought song.
Wait, the McGuire sisters said that to you?
No.
People.
The
people in the audience.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, the McGuire sisters said it too. The McGuire sisters thought it was written for them.
Yeah.
They didn't know. You know. So,
wow.
Hey, that's the way things were going in the time, you know, during those days.
Mm. But now you said you got your royalties starting in 1978, and so
yeah. I'm working starting. On. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they didn't pay you retro, right?
No.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. So all the royalties from the McGuire sisters covering your song,
right.
You just never saw them.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had eight covers at one time, not only McGuire sisters.
Who else covered Goodnight?
Gloria Mann. It was a country cover. I forget who
Well, that just
it.
Goes to show you how great that song was.
Right. It had eight covers at one time. At the same time, they all came out.
Well, at least you're getting your royalties now.
Well, I'm getting something. Okay.
Now, when Pookie Hudson sat down to write a song back in the day, how did that go? Did you have a method for your writing?
No. Really, let me tell you, truthfully, when I first started writing songs, I didn't know there was such thing as a songwriter. You know? They told us, because we were singing other people's songs, and the company told us, look, y'all got to have something of your own. You can't keep singing other people's songs. You know? So, this when we sit down and put Baby's You together. We, you know, we just started listening, like I said, we did off of I'm Gone, and start singing and then put Baby's You together. Then I start doing it by myself. This particular song, Goodnight, Sweetheart, I wrote that back in 1952. I wrote that before I even got out of high school.
So that was sitting around for like a year before
you
even got
recorded. A couple years, yeah. You know, I mean, I wrote that for a young lady that I was going with at the time in school, high school, you know, young and dumb and in love. And her mama, you know, I used to go and stay at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-oh.
My mama got tired of that crap. She said, look, son, your mom might not care about you being out at 12 o'clock, but she didn't mean for you to be here after 12 o'clock. So, and walking home, I put this song together, Goodnight, Sweetheart, and I took it to the group. And we just sang it on the corner. We never really thought about recording Goodnight, Sweetheart. You know, we thought it was like a fairy tale. You know? So we weren't really that interested in doing Goodnight,
Sweetheart.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And history was made.
Yeah.
You Painted Pictures is another one of your great compositions. Do you remember how that came about? Does that have any meaning?
Not really. I just wrote a song to write a song. I mean, I was always in love. I put it that way. You know, I was always a woman somewhere.
So. Somewhere.
Yeah, so I would write to that, you know. But
You have a reputation, Pookie.
I hope that's dead.
All right, let's hear You Painted Pictures. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to let you call in Night Prowlers and ask Pookie a question if you have one. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. The great Pookie Hudson joins me. Here is You Painted Pictures, The Spaniels. You gave me Peace of Mind, a fantastic song, Pookie.
I thank you. It was one of my favorites. I wrote it at a time when things were pretty bad. I stopped singing. And I was working in East Chicago making boxcars. Yeah, so it happened one night. I was outside eating lunch and saw this star, and for some reason or another, it all started falling into place, and I put Peace of Mind together.
Did you ever, by any chance, hear Gene Vincent's rockabilly cover of that song?
No, I haven't.
I'm going to play it for you so you can hear it. I'll play it in just a little while, but I wanted to tell you that we got a call from Patty and Glenn out in Virginia, and they just wanted to let you know how much they love you, and that they were watching the Doo-Wop 50 show that was on PBS a while ago. And Jerry Butler was the MC of the show. And he made a comment on the show about how, you know, it was back in the old days, how it was so good working with you, and how he always wondered whether or not you'd make it to the microphone on time, because you'd walk around and you're kind of slow getting to the mic. Yeah. But you always, Pookie, you always made it on time.
I was fortunate, yeah. I basically made it all the time.
Do you know why there are no Pookie impersonators out there? Like, there, you know, there's like hundreds of Elvis impersonators, but there are no Pookie impersonators. You know why? Because you're one of a kind. There's only one Pookie Hudson.
I appreciate that. I really do.
If you'd like to talk to Pookie Night Prowlers, 866-267-0346. I never do this, but I really feel like I need to do this tonight because I have such a legend here in the satellite that I want to open this up to you doo-wop fans who have been listening to my program for the last 5 years, who have been collecting doo-wop records your whole lives, who have been listening to Pookie sing since the 1950s. I want to open the lines up to you right now if you'd like to speak to Pookie Hudson, 866-267-0346. I will put you on the air with Pookie Hudson. We're getting some calls, Pookie. I'm going to put some of these callers on hold here, and we will get to them. Let's see. Let's start with this caller here. 50's on 5. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, is this Yum Yum?
Yep, I'm not going to do Matt the Cat in respect to Pookie.
Pookie, can you hear Yum Yum?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure everyone can hear each other.
Okay, Pookie, nice to talk to you. Lots of luck. Feel good.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I have a couple of questions. Where did you get the name Pookie?
Well, that's a... my mother told me that after she had me and she had to go to work, I had a great aunt who took care of me. And every time I would mess my diapers, she said, all you do is Pookie, Pookie, Pookie. So I became Pookie.
I had no idea. That's how it all went. Oh, man. Wow. Okay.
Okay. And why, a set of spaniels, how come you didn't say cocker spaniels? What made you do spaniels?
Well, we thought cocker spaniels a little too long. You know? So we just used spaniels.
Okay, well, that Yum Yum?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you satisfied?
A very good answer. And one last thing, his song stole American Graffiti when they did Sweetheart.
Say it again, man.
In the movie.
What about it?
It stole the movie.
Stole the show.
It stole the show. It came on at the right time in the movie, and it was terrific. And let him stay well. Let him keep singing for another 50 to 100 years.
That's true. I'm going to try like hell. Believe me.
Thanks for calling, Yum Yum.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 50's on 5, hello?
Hey, it's Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Long Island Bob, he's a big, Pookie, he's a big fan of yours.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Bob, do you have a question for Pookie?
Yeah, two questions kind of related to each other. Pookie, you mentioned the first session, Baby It's You, where you had one microphone for the group and one for the band. I guess they were the Red Saunders Trio, is that name ring a bell?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. legend has it that after that session, maybe in time for the second or third session, bells ring out, or maybe a little bit later on, that the Spaniels were the first or one of the first groups to experiment with giving the lead singer a more prominent role and having the lead singer have his own mic and the group a separate mic. Is there any truth to that legend?
Yeah, they did. After that, because Universal was on, you know, was on the verge of whatever came about as far as recording. Every time we'd go in, it'd be something different, and that's when, as you said,
Matt. Mm-hmm. Matt, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing his response.
You can't hear Pookie?
No, I hear him in the background, but I can't make out what he's saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll work on that.
Okay.
What was your other question?
So there was some truth to that rumor. I
yes,
there
was.
A response, but the
yes, that's true.
Cool. The second one you guys touched on, around 58, 59, oldies record shops started dominating in Manhattan especially, and collectors would gather around. And you know, whenever record collectors gather around, Matt will tell you, the chatter level raises way the hell up high. There was always a discussion on whether the VJ 101 or the Chance was the original label of Baby It's You. Now, by 58, 59, VJ was hitting the even the pop charts, you know, with the Magnificence and Eldorados, and Jimmy Reed was starting to come around and everything. So VJ was a pretty big label by 58, 59, and Chance, of course, was long gone, which made most people think that Chance was the original label of Baby It's You.
No, VJ was the original label.
That's kind of what I thought. That's kind of what I thought.
VJ had it out for a few minutes, and then they leased it to Chance.
Okay.
Okay. And then Chance went bankrupt, so then VJ took it back.
Oh, Chance went bankrupt during the period when that
right.
was out?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have right here that it was July of 1953 that Baby It's You came out on VJ, and it was October of 53 that the Chance one actually came out. That's what the book says.
Wow. And then they went bankrupt, and it went back to VJ.
Correct.
And I guess that was probably not a lucky thing for you guys either, because I think VJ leased it to Chance in the first place because they weren't strong on the distribution at that early point in the record company's
that's
career.
That's correct.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you have it.
Thank you very much, Matt. And Pookie, as everyone else has said, stay well and keep on prowling.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, take care. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
50's on five. Who's prowling?
Hello. Hello.
Who's this?
This is Alan.
Hi, Alan. You're talking to Pookie Hudson.
Hey, I want to just—I'm not too technical on it. My wife and I got our first kiss off of his song at Jack Mahal's Record Hops. He always played that at the end. And I just want to thank Pookie for that kiss.
Well, I'm glad you got it, sir. I'm glad you're still with it.
And I tell you what, we hear it over and over and over again. It brings back that same thrill. Just keep on singing.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you so much for calling.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, a lovely way to spend an evening. What's the story behind that one?
We heard about the Ink Spots, you know, mm-hmm. and they had this, and I heard it in an old movie at one time. And, you know, we liked the song. We said, well, hey, let's see if we can put it together and see if we could do it. And so we did it.
And you did it. And we're going to hear it right now, and you can hear and see Pookie live up at Foxwoods in Connecticut tomorrow and Saturday, beginning at 9 p.m. Details, of course, through Foxwoods' website, or you can call their box office if you want to get tickets to that show. Let's hear A Lovely Way to Spend an Evening, The Spaniels. I'm so fortunate to be joined up in the satellite by the great Pookie Hudson.
This is a lovely way to I know.
Pookie wasn't the original Spaniels group.
No, that was
a group you put together in Washington.
In Washington, yeah. That rather disbandment of the original group, I stayed in Washington, and Gerald stayed, and I think Ernest was in the group. And we picked up a fellow named Annie Mack and Billy Carey and Pete Simmons. And we ended up recording this particular tune.
And what brought you to Washington in the first place?
We were singing.
You know. Yeah. You like the area?
Oh, yeah, I like the area. And we were singing. And the group, well, a couple of the fellas, they got kind of disappointed because we weren't doing no hell of a lot of work. And they wanted to go back home, so a couple of them went back home. So we broke up here. And I had made some relationships with some young ladies, and Gerald had too. So we just stayed, picked up a couple other people, and kept right on going.
Hmm. Do you remember the old tours back in the 50s?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you guys must have been on a couple of those package tours, right?
I was on all of them, I do believe.
And do you remember a story, like, when you think about the old days of touring behind your records back in the 50s and playing with a whole bunch of other groups, does one particular story or a couple stories kind of float to the top of your mind?
Well, we was on a tour that with the Big Papa and...
Buddy Holly?
Buddy Holly, no, they got killed. Well, we was on that tour at that time.
On the Winter Dance Party tour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But see, what happened was, I forgot exactly where we went, but they had split from us and went someplace else and played for this particular night. We were traveling, you know, and we ended up, we was in Canada, and someone brought the news that they had got killed, you know, in the airplane accident.
So, do you have any impressions of Buddy Holly? That you, I mean, anything about him that struck you?
Not really. None of them. I mean, I've been doing it so long, you know.
Yeah, they were just guys on the tour.
Yeah, we all were, that's, you know, we were all doing what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to do the show, and that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about, I'm sure you did you run into problems touring the South?
Problems? Oh, yeah, well, you know, this was before the city, and this was before, civil rights and things, you know. We were subject to the same things that the rest of the people in the South were subject to at that particular time. And, couldn't find no hotels or motels to stay in. You changed in your car, you stayed in people's homes. And we drove our own car. We been stopped numerous times by the police. You know, and we
just for no reason, just for driving
just
down the road.
Because we were black, you know. And, and we had a new car, and we had our name on the side, and had Illinois plates on the car, and we became a bunch of northern niggas and this and that and the other. And we was a bunch of names, and they had pulled their guns on us and made us dance and sing and all this type of thing.
Humiliating.
What you gonna do?
Yeah. I've gotten stories like that from Herb Cox of the Cleftones and Berman Patterson and lots of stories about that, and it's always, it's just despicable that you had to go through all that.
Yeah, but well, you know, that was
it's a dark point in history.
Only thing that kind of saved us, Jimmy's name was Bracken. So a lot of time what happened, they would say, you know, y'all so-and-so, we're going to call your manager. So they thought Bracken, they thought he was Jewish. He was black. So they didn't know.
Wow. Were you on any of the Alan Freed tours?
Alan Freed never played our record.
No?
We never did any Alan Freed shows.
So you never ran into Alan Freed?
No, Alan Freed wanted to put his name on Good Night, Sweetheart. We wouldn't let him.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. We did none of his shows, nor did he play in our records.
Uh-huh. All right, like he put his name on the Moon Glows and Chuck Berry and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We have an actual a dedication right now. Got a call while we were playing one of the Spaniels records. We got a call. A woman would like to send this song out to her sister who's celebrating her 65th birthday, and the song is I Lost You. Do you remember anything about that one?
I Lost You was actually written by Don Covey.
Oh.
We were here at the Howard Theater, and Don came backstage and said, man, I wrote this song for you, you know. And we did it, and we tried it, and we sang it. And, Don was one of the first songs Don wrote.
And Don wrote so many great songs throughout his career. Mercy, Mercy, and Seesaw, and I Stole Some Love, and all those. Wow. All right. Here's I Lost You. Happy birthday. You, Pookie Hudson, the Spaniels, 50s on 5. We're joined here live by Pookie Hudson, who's playing tomorrow night and Saturday night at Foxwoods in Connecticut. Got some people who want to talk to you, Pookie, so we're going to go back to the phones, all right?
All right.
Is this Timothy?
Yeah, this is Timothy.
Hi, Timothy. Do you have a question for Pookie Hudson?
Yes, sir. Did you guys actually get the idea when you were in high school to start off singing, or what?
Well, I've been singing since I was 10, 11 years old.
Did you hear him?
I didn't hear him,
He said he'd been singing since he was 10 or 11 years old.
Ah. Well, I was kind of interested in how long you guys been there, because at one time I had a set of grandparents that lived not too far from where you guys started at Gary. Yeah, they lived in Indiana Harbor, so you probably know where that area is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was raised in Gary.
Indiana Harbor.
Yeah, I was raised in Gary.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Yeah. I really have liked the music ever since I've heard it. And I didn't realize until I heard you guys that there was anybody besides Chuck Berry and Lee Clark and Jerry Butler. But that's very interesting. Really neat.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Timothy.
You bet you. Take care.
Okay. You bet. 50's on 5. Do you have a question for Pookie Hudson?
Yeah, this is Dave. I'm in Missoula, Montana. I want you to know we got doo-wop fans way out here.
That sounds great.
And I just want to say that Pookie is absolutely one of my all-time favorite lead singers. He's got a voice that's like nobody else's, and nobody else is like him, and I just love him, always have. But I'm real interested in bass singers, and Daryl Gregory, I thought, had one of the greatest bass voices I've ever heard. And I just wonder if Pookie thought... anybody rivaled him, maybe Jimmy Ricks or some others. I'd like to hear some comment on that.
Well, they have to realize we were in different eras. Jimmy Ricks is a gentleman who sang with a gospel group.
The Ravens.
He sang the Ravens, but there was another fellow who sang with the gospel group. I can't think of his name right off hand. They were great bass singers. But I don't think they could do the things that Gerald. Pardon me. I don't think they could do the things that Gerald did, and Gerald will always be the greatest bass singer to me.
Did you hear that? Oh, he dropped off. All right, we lost that call. Judy is waiting. She wants to talk to you. Judy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What's your question for Pookie?
And I've missed bits and pieces, so just tell me if I missed and I'm sorry. The song I Know,
mm-hmm.
I've always heard that was done with the Imperials.
That's correct.
With Pookie and the, can you tell us about that?
I had, pardon me, the group had broken up and I went to New York. And I had a contract with Lloyd Price and his Double L label. And funny thing about it is the story behind this. It was just before Christmas, about a week before Christmas, and I went over to New York. I had about $7 in my pocket. They were supposed to be there, but when I got there, they had went on vacation. So now I'm in New York, know nobody, nothing to do, so I end up sleeping in Central Park for 2 weeks.
Wait, you were in the park for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I ended up sleeping in Central Park for 2 weeks. And don't anybody tell you newspaper don't keep you warm. Of course they do. And the snow was above the benches. And I was like this for about 2 weeks until they came back off of vacation. And I finally got a little job at Macy's, counting beads. And then when they got back, we finally got into the contractor thing. And we did I Know.
Mm-hmm. What a story.
Wow.
You slept in Central Park for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Well, Judy, you know
amazing.
How to bring out the stories.
Ah.
You want to conduct the rest of the interview?
Well, I just want to say this is so fabulous. Thank you for coming on. And Matt the Cat, if you haven't listened to Matt, you should do so.
I sure will.
He is absolutely fabulous. But, Matt, thank you for having him on. And this was a great honor. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Matt.
Bye, guys.
You take it easy. Wow. Yeah, America loves you, Pookie. There's no question about that. America loves you. I want to ask you about The Individuals, which was a group I guess you were a part of in the early 60s.
Yeah, well, really, what happened was I was living in New York at the time, and it was just before I Know, well, no, I, before they released I Know. I had already recorded it, but before they released it, and I was staying at the hotel that Castro was in, Teresa. I was staying at the Teresa, and at that time the Coasters were at the Apollo. And they knew I wasn't doing too well and things, so they said, "Well, come on, you know, help us out at the Apollo." So what they would do, they would send me to the store to buy something for $4 and give me $10 and tell me to keep the change. Anyway, we went through this thing. I went through this thing with them the whole week, and I think I made more money than they did from them because they were looking out for me. They was feeling sorry or nothing, but they just gave me a chance to make a couple of dollars and things. And what we did, and through that friendship with Speedo and Doug and Billy Guy and Carl and the fellow played guitar, I can't think of his name right off hand. We put together a couple songs, one called Pillow Full of Tears and Wedding Bells, and we call ourselves The Individuals. So Speedo, myself, Carl, Billy, we did this for
Chase Records.
Chase Records. The fella played the saxophone for Atlantic Records at that time.
Lee Allen?
No, the other
Red,
one.
Red?
No.
Red Taylor?
No, the one that played all the solos.
Oh, Boots Randolph.
No, the other one. The one that got killed in front of
King
the
Curtis.
King Curtis, right.
All right.
This was his label, and it never went no place, but we called ourselves The Individuals.
I don't have a copy of this. I need to find this. If any Night Prowlers out there have this record by The Individuals off Chase Records from, what do you think it was, like 60, 61, 62?
Around 61, 62, 61, 62. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I want to play something for you because I mentioned it before about Gene Vincent
right. Covering
You Gave Me Peace of Mind, just so you can hear like somebody else doing it. And see what you think of it. He, you know, Gene Vincent, of course, one of the great rockabilly singers of the 1950s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here he is doing it himself. And we'll get Pookie's reaction, because you said you'd never heard this before.
No, I haven't heard it.
Well, we'll get, and of course, he didn't make any money off it either, but we'll get your reaction right after this. Here's Gene Vincent doing a Pookie Hudson song.
As I stood.